Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. Digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, TJ Cleland, and Tim Fitzgerald are K-State Insider. Go PowerCat.com, at Life of Fitz on social. We got Daphne the dog here with us as well, Fitz, to bring in some reinforcements.
Yep.
Welcome in to,
look at this.
Daily. We appreciate it. Thanks for
being
here.
It's everyone. Everyone together.
The whole gang is here with nothing but good things to talk about. Surely we don't need to get into the fact that K-State's the worst team in the net in the Big 12. Surely we don't need to get into the fact that they still don't have a high-quality win. You can count Cincinnati if you want on the schedule. Four losses in a row. Five minutes of basketball, game minutes, not real minutes, game minutes without scoring the other night.
They're trying to make it difficult on themselves.
Can't generate any offense. Fitz, how big picture here? Because small picture, I don't think anybody anymore can see a path to much success this season. Are we to the point where the big picture stuff starts entering the equation? I think we are, aren't we? We're worried about this thing, big picture.
Oh yeah. This is they got a lot of really delicious ingredients for the soup, and the soup is crap. This hasn't worked, and we're seeing NIL purchased teams around the country fail too, or maybe not as gloriously as Kansas State, but this isn't working. And it's almost like hired guns aren't loyal to you and just want to be paid. So I think this is good for college basketball. I'd hate that Kansas State's going through it, but I like the idea that you can't just go buy a team and be successful. Even though that cheat code was used at Kansas State, everyone thought it would work. It hasn't worked. And after the last game, Jerome Tang announced that we're going to start worrying about the future. And only the guys who really want to be on the court and earn it in practice are going to be on the court. And he played some guys that haven't played a lot of minutes this year, including point guard David Castillo in the crunch time. And he's decided we got to get him that experience for the future, because that's basically what they have left this season, is the future.
That final 5 minutes against Texas Tech, I feel like it was kind of the microcosm of the way that this season has been for the Wildcats, where, I mean, for a large portion of that game, they were in it. They played really well. They had a stretch in the first half where they, you know, went on an 11-0 run and turned a 8-point deficit into a 3-point lead. But in the crunch time, when it mattered the most, the offense disappeared. Now, credit to Tech and their suffocating defense in that regard. But to me, it kind of sums up the way that this team has been basically this entire season. When it matters most, especially the guys that are being paid to deliver, haven't been able to deliver.
Yeah, exactly. This team really hasn't ever known what its identity is in those moments. When it needs a basket, what does it do? Their plan, and I put this on the coaches as much as anyone, the plan at the end of the games apparently is point guard race up the court and shoot the ball. It doesn't matter if it's a good shot, just shoot it. And That isn't working. That worked when your point guard was Marquise Noel, but it's not working now. And it didn't work last year very often. And I think they've now realized that they have to approach this entirely differently. And the difference with how they lost the other night to Texas Tech was, yeah, they went scoreless the last 550 of that game. But Tech only scored 4 points. So in the past, let's be honest, the opponent would have scored like 16 points and it had been a blowout. Yeah, that's where we're at right now. We're taking these little victories within the losses as hopeful signs, maybe, that they're improving. I thought they were much better defensively. They were much better with their effort. They weren't particularly better offensively, which has usually meant they get blown out. So I take away some encouragement, and I'm happy that Jerome Tang has decided we're going to just keep going forward into next season. We've got to get this roster ready because this plan obviously isn't working. We're going to have to shift over to maybe the way we did it before with the two plans melded together. And it's going to be a process. You know what that means, guys? They're not going to be very good next year because they're going to try to go get some young players to start doing this the right way. But Jerome Tang has that time because he just signed a new contract that Kansas State absolutely cannot afford to buy out in the era of revenue sharing that is coming in the fall. You're already at $22 million allocated for student athletes. You can't pay another almost $20 million out to buy out a coach. So that just isn't a reality. And I'd say in any of the schools in this area, you can't do that. So they're trying to make the best of a horrific situation of their own creation.
Fitz, I'm wondering, you know, you look at social media, you look at the stands the other night, you know, it wasn't a packed house, and fans are talking with their money, fans are talking on social media, yeah. You know, bald guys in Manhattan are pretty disgruntled right now as well, too, but, you know, what's the vibe of this Kansas State? Is there any hot water? You know, we hear Coach Tang go on the press conference, and he's such an optimist, you wouldn't really think anything's going on. Is there something behind the scenes that you think that Kansas State's talking to Jerome Tang? Just kind of what's the university handling this like?
You know, honestly, I don't think there's anything going on behind the scenes because I'm sure Gene Taylor's talked to him a little bit, and maybe they've fleshed out this plan to move forward. I don't know. Gene's not that kind of hands-on guy. He intervenes when it needs to be done, and I think the entire K-State world that is plugged in knows that nothing can be done contractually right now. But the fans are voting. And the students are out, so that impacted the crowd quite significantly. I mean, it's not like there's a giant metro area that can fill in those areas for a weeknight game. So those weeknight games during holiday breaks are always less attended, but filled in pretty well by locals taking advantage of ticket plans that they put out there so people can bring their kids to a game. Fearing being accused of child abuse, I don't think many people brought their kids to the game. Nobody wants to lose their children because they expose them to Kansas State basketball.
It's a form of punishment.
That would be hard to explain. But no, I think a lot of people that would normally go just decided it's cold out. I'm not going. And those deterrents don't work when you're winning. They'll climb a mountain to get to you if they've got a seat in a winning arena.
Fitz, let's talk some football. Let's brighten this up a little bit here. Tell us about, look, I've said it a million times, not qualified to follow the transfer portal. Don't have the energy. Don't really, quite frankly, know how to do it very well. I can go to, you know, to the sites and see that K-State's kind of down there. Are they happy with what they've done? Did they need to do as much in the portal as some of these teams higher on the list?
No, they, I like K-State football's approach to the portal. For where K-State is in the hierarchy of college football. They turn their NIL inwards. They keep players like Jace Brown, who is being courted by other programs, who was seriously considering leaving. Of course, we don't know what the offer was, but he's still at K-State. So they keep their core pieces as best they can. They've really never suffered the outgo from the portal that other programs have. They've never had mass exodus of key players. That just hasn't happened. And when that happens, you have to go find answers in the portal. So K-State's able to use the portal very selectively. Some guys are of more urgent need, and a lot of this is just filling in the roster. They got three receivers to all come compete in the receiver room, but they're not throwing, I don't know what the price for a receiver is because I'm so overshadowed by basketball prices that are just ridiculous. But they're not paying $250,000 to a receiver that I know of that have come in. They're just not going to do that. They're doing the exact opposite of basketball. They're trying to preserve their locker room as best they can by keeping a kind of a sensible hierarchy to who's getting paid and why. You got to earn it at K-State, unless you really are someone that they want to bring in and they can see you can help them immediately. They approach the portal differently. They're never going to be highly ranked, but boy, they're going to fill in all their spots that they need help with while retaining guys like Dylan Edwards, Avery Johnson, Jace Brown, just on offense. Austin Romaine and so many others on defense. All players I know others would like to poach, and they haven't been able to.
Real quick, Fitz, before we let you go, let's go back to basketball really quick. Sunflower Showdown.
Really?
The first Sunflower Showdown of the season in Lawrence this weekend. Kansas, they're not world beaters, and there, I think, is a fairly clear formula on how to attack a team like the Jayhawks. It's just a matter of whether or not Kansas State has the firepower and the personnel to make it difficult on the Jayhawks, and really taking away Hunter Dickinson, you know, trying to find ways, you know, to do that. And Kansas can't score at a high clip right now either. So I think this could be a closer game than maybe what people might initially think. Do you think the Wildcats have the recipe to at least be able to, you know, find a way to get into what Kansas wants to do best?
They have the recipe. I'm not sure they'll do it. They've not played Hunter Dickinson. They have not played Coleman Hawkins on the interior like he did at Illinois. He's never lost to Hunter Dickinson because he was the guy covering him in the post most of the time. And that kind of athleticism and ability to drag him away from the basket on the other end gives him problems. I think part of why Coleman came to Kansas State is to be on the perimeter and not play the post. We'll see what they do. The formula's there. He has given him troubles throughout his career, but I don't know if they'll do it, probably because of promises made in the recruiting process. But at the end of the day, I don't think this team has the spirit or I don't want to say heart, but probably the collective oomph to beat a team like Kansas. When you're struggling to beat Oklahoma State, guys, I don't see you beating Kansas. I think that thing will be extremely ugly. I think it'll be a get-right game for KU, and they're going to get right by about 20 points over K-State.
Yeah, pissed off Kansas in Lawrence.
Yes.
That's probably going to be a problem. All right, Fitz, you guys will have that game all covered. You've got the recruiting trail all covered, both hoops and, of course, football right now at Go Power Cat. Plenty for us there.
Yep, absolutely. We're trying something new with our podcast, too. We used to do like 1 hour long one a week. We do a lot of podcasts, but our main podcast was one a week. We decided to do about 320s a week because I am like the rest of you. I don't have the attention span of an hour. In fact, I don't have about 5 minutes, and dude wants to go outside, so I got to go.
Yeah, we lack attention spans. Fitz, that's all right. It's all right. Daphne's the boss.
Daphne laid down.
Oh, yeah, good.
Dude wants to go outside to drink the cold water.
Oh, okay. Well, Fitz, you go lay down. All right. It's you know, go take a nap.
So early. Why are you doing this in the middle of the night now?
I know. It's I get it. We're all there. You should see TJ stroll in the morning this
so
week.
So awake.
It's been a yeah. There you go. There you go. All right, Fitz. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Boys.
Up against it. GoPowerCat.com or K-State Insider. Interesting. Big takeaway for me there is they can't afford to buy out Jerome Tang. And I believe it. I think we're going to see a little more of that, which is an interesting development in college sports as it pertains to some of the things that we follow. We'll soak in on that. We'll have more Sports Daily for you coming right back.